Well, wonderful. Today we are going to hear from Del Ann Up, and she is going to share a bit about her business and how we can find her and more insights because she's got multiple locations. So, Del Ann, thank you for taking some time today to chat with us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, we can see that you're in your shop with the background. It looks lovely. Well, tell us a bit about you and your business and what would be important for us to know about that.
Yeah, so the business is called Creative Culture. It's a DIY art studio and like an over-the-top milkshake bar. It's very family friendly, girls' night friendly, just a wholesome place to come and get creative. We opened our first location in Kansas City right as the pandemic hit, which was a little interesting. We had to kind of switch gears for that. But the studios kind of withstood, the pandemic, and we just kept growing. And we now have two, one in Missouri, one in Kansas. We have one in Portland, Oregon. And then our last one here is in Omaha, Nebraska.
Nice, beautiful. Well, we're glad you picked us in Omaha, Nebraska to open up a shop. That's wonderful.
Yeah, we love it here.
What brought you into the business? What got you to this place where you wanted to start such a studio?
Yeah, so I owned a very large event rental company for almost 12 years, and it was a very time-consuming, very stressful job. You're working every time everyone else is having fun, and you don't really have much of a life outside of work. And I just decided after 12 years, it was time to focus on my family a little more. So I sold that in 2020, and I was planning to take a little bit of time off. And she was 10 at the time. My 10-year-old daughter came to me and was like, "Mom, I got this idea. I said, "Well, I want to see a business plan." And she's like, "Well, what's a business plan?" So I kind of explained it to her. So sure enough, her dad and grandma sat down and they helped her write up a business plan. And she gave me a full presentation, and it was a really good idea. So I said, "All right, let's go for it, kiddo." So we opened our first location and brought kind of her vision to life. I kind of added in a little bit of, small business ownership knowledge, but we got pretty lucky that the concept was a really good fit. And they've continued to grow. Omaha, like I said, is our newest one. And Omaha's been a little bit different market for us. I think it's t still trying to figure out the market, and really had to advertise and promote here has probably been our biggest challenge. We've got a great thing that I know people will enjoy, but it's just how to share it with people. Where do we find the customer?
Beautiful. And that's true, right? A massive marketing machine to let people know who you are, what you're about, what need you can feel for a fill for them, and how do they find and connect with you? Beautiful.
Exactly. Social media is such a big marketing tool nowadays that if you can get a, big following there, but we're very big on growing organic followers, that are going to be active, and we do no real paid, followers and things like that. Because I think as a business owner, that doesn't help you. Your numbers look good, but if you're not getting an engagement, who cares?
That's
But,
right.
Omaha, we have found that using our general social media page to promote was a little bit confusing for the market because they were seeing a lot of the pictures from Kansas City or from Oregon, and it just wasn't resonating that the location there is one in Omaha. So we revamped a little bit and changed course and started doing some social media that is specific to our Omaha location and did doing some targeted advertising and things like that.
Beautiful, beautiful. We call it raise your hand marketing, right? That
Yeah.
you get people to take some kind of an action, interest, and respond, and then follow up. Love that.
Yes,
I'm
absolutely.
curious why you picked, of all the places that you could have picked, from Missouri to Kansas to Oregon, that you picked Omaha, Nebraska. Curious about that.
So I tend to look at the markets pretty in depth and do some pretty, I analyze competitors and take a look at the communities and try to see, is there a hole for what we're offering, in a community? And we always come to Omaha to go to the zoo, and I have a lot of great friends in the area. And so when I would come to town with my daughter, it was kind of a struggle to find more than one or two or three activities that were really geared kind of towards that family. And I don't know if I'm just a customer too that doesn't know about all the things, but after doing some market research, you know, there just wasn't a lot, I guess, you know, from a business standpoint, you would say competition. And we thought it was something that the community really could use. And it's just that the studio is such a positive, happy place that it just seems to be a good fit for the Omaha, you know, community as a whole. So that's after looking at about 5 or 10 different cities in the Midwest, we decided this was going to be the best fit.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I'm curious about what maybe some of your biggest learnings have been since you started. This would be like your fourth store now. Mm-hmm. I'm curious about what have been some of those biggest learnings and insights that you have that you would share.
You know, I think when you're growing a business, the general concept build out is consistent from location to location. We have kind of our standard brand, and we've done a very good job of sticking to that brand and making sure that we have that consistency from location to location. We've also found it really important to be able to find suppliers that can supply all locations, not just a specific one. We do like to use local for all of our milkshake ingredients and the food aspect of it. So we try to definitely shop small there. And then some of our bigger ordering, such as pottery, some of our woodcraft materials and things like that, we actually use a Midwest company that can do distribution to like 4 states. So I still think we're shopping small. It's a family run company that's been around for about 30 years. They're out of Wichita, Kansas, and they're happy as we grow to, you know, keep supplying us. And we're actually one of their biggest clients for the bisque pottery.
Nice. Love that. Love that. I'm curious about the team that you have built, the number of employees that you have now, and what do you look for when you're looking for the quality of employee to join your team?
Yeah, I think the reality is if you ask any small business owner, staffing is probably the biggest headache and probably the biggest challenge in business ownership, period. You know, the studios themselves are fairly easy to run. It's just finding the right team in place. And I think Omaha has given me kind of a wake-up call on that. I have been very blessed and very lucky to be able to put teams together and long-term teams in all my other locations. I have staff in Kansas City that's been with me since I've opened, and I've had very long-term managers. But Omaha has been definitely a challenge. We have had a hard time, you know, finding where the best place to list jobs are and get a response. I don't know what we're doing wrong, but we're definitely trying to figure it out. But finally, after a couple of months, we do have a really solid team in place. We have hired kind of across the board on skill sets. You know, if I have a team of 5 people at each location that have the same skill set, that doesn't do me much good. So I've learned to hire people with lots of different talents, and then we kind of piece together to make a team. I think that hands down, though, staffing is the biggest challenge of small business ownership.
The biggest opportunity and yet the biggest joy when you get it right, because you're creating jobs, right? You
yeah,
are adding
exactly.
to and giving back to the economy, which is totally awesome. Love
yeah.
that.
There's definitely days I question my sanity with it, though.
Yeah, well, right now, that's part of it.
Yeah. You know, right now I employ about 36 people, and we're small. So I tend to be the point of contact, you know, for all of the managers. And then it's inevitable that the studio assistants filter to me at some point as well, too. So that definitely is a handful. But I think that we're starting to get a really good system in place. And all my managers at my 3 other locations have been with me for a very long time. So, you know, it's like no news is good news.
Well, and, you know, part of it is staying connected, right? And removing obstacles for them as they encounter them, which we know they will. That's part of it as well. They need a go-to person.
You know, I look at the last 15 years of my career as being a small business owner. And I think, you know, when I first started kind of in this journey, I came from a marketing, I worked for Kansas State University, and those state jobs are pretty process driven. And I never understood the importance of process until you get into your own business. And some of the things that would drive you nuts about process is really what's critical in being successful. Because if you don't have any process in place, then there's no organization, and then it's really stressful for everyone. But I have found now on store four, you know, we have a process essentially for everything. And so general operation is from day one of me owning a business to now is like night and day. And those are the things you can't be taught. You have to get in there and do it. And just, you know, experience teaches you those things.
Absolutely. You know, we like to think about business simply being about people and process. Mm-hmm. And when you've got good people wanting to do good things and you support them, as you said, with good process, they'll find their way. And that's what's driving your consistency, I'm guessing, when you talked about consistency in the experience.
Yeah. You know, consistency is what everyone strives for. You want to have an exceptional experience for your customer every time. So it's figuring out, you know, how to get your staff to understand that and then to implement your process. And yeah, it feels good to finally be there, but it's definitely taken me, you know, 15 years to figure all that out.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you say that because obviously time teaches us. And I'm just curious, if you were to start from square one, right? What would you do differently now that you've had those years of experience?
Yeah, so I actually just opened another business last month, and it's back into the event rental world. It's a company called Lemon, and it's a very smaller scale specialty kind of rental shop. We're focusing more on tabletop items, so glassware, flatware, you know, basically if you use it to eat or drink, that's what we're handling. Where my old company, we did everything from tenting to lounges, you know, it was very big. So this is a very scaled down version, but it's been very refreshing, you know, for 12 years in that world, all the things that I'd done wrong that when you're so deep into it, it's almost hard to correct, you know, just minor things like how we would package plates and store them. Well, when you get 50,000 plates, changing that process is a little difficult, where when you start from scratch, you can correct all the things you did wrong. And so it's just funny to see this little company kind of taking shape, and all of the things that were the biggest headaches for me before, we've addressed from the get-go. And it's like such a smoother process now. But you know, when you first start, you don't really know what you're doing. You can read books, you can watch videos, you can have mentors, but until you're in there in the thick of it on your own, you know, those things kind of go out the window. It's a lot of kind of trial and error.
It is. And it can be, as long as we're learning from it, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Love that. I'm curious because your daughter had this idea. So obviously your entrepreneurial spirit is alive and well. I'm curious about what do you think created that interest in her?
I think, you know, I've always been the primary breadwinner in our family. When my ex-husband, he was a school teacher, and then he stayed and helped with my daughter a lot kind of in the early years of starting a business. And, you know, that was just a job that I don't think God gave me the skill set for. So I love being a mom, but I just, my little brain and stuff goes too much, and it's hard for me to kind of stay at home and be still. So luckily I had a partner that was very good with that and gave me the opportunity to go explore. And so I think she just kind of have always seen me to work, and just, you know, I think some kids just have that mindset. I almost feel like it's genetic, like either they got it or they don't. And the world needs both type of people to go around. But mine just happens to be pretty sharp on that business side. And I watch her just, she's so funny. I'm telling you, I joke. I'm like, I've got the next like Fortune 500 CEO on my hands. This kid, she is very analytical. I get upset with her because some of her basic schoolwork she's not doing good in, but then it's like the stuff she enjoys, you know, then she's like a rock star. So I don't know. I think it was just being around it her whole life. I mean, the kid learned to count, counting votives of candles out on wedding tables. I mean, you know, so she was just around it, and she, I don't think she knows any different.
Yeah, it is that application. We find that with a lot of business owners is the head knowledge is one thing. It's mm-hmm. the application of it, right? Put Absolutely. It in motion and continually learning and growing and improving. That really is the way to live, no doubt.
Yeah. And, you know, I read a lot and kind of research what's going on in the business, small business world out there. And, you know, when my daughter was born, the thought of her, you know, not attending college, like could not even enter my mind. It was just, she grew up. That wasn't even an option because that's how I grew up. You know, when you finish high school, it wasn't a matter of if you were going to college, it was where. And it's funny because now as I kind of reflect and having worked in higher education for so long, I'm finally to that point. I'm like, you know, some kids, that's their path and other kids, it's not. And I do have a very smart child, but she may come up with some brilliant idea. And if she has a good mentor to help guide her, that could almost be more valuable. So it's funny, you know, 12 years later of how I feel about that. Like I would think, oh my God, I'm going to panic if she decides she doesn't want to go to college. But now I don't know if that would be my response.
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear. And when you watch people that follow their passion, right, mm-hmm. and they still have that joy in what they're doing, meaning and purpose, and those that maybe have a job and they're just stuck.
Yeah,
and you right. know, and really recognizing that some natural skills and talents just need to be nurtured and honed. And that's a beautiful perspective that you have. And maybe a common business misconception that some folks think that you have to have a business degree before you can really, you know, run a business. And we find a lot of subject matter experts trained in their skill and their craft, and yet they don't know how to learn a business, and they're giving it its best. And that's where we come in to guide that process. So it doesn't take them, you know, 15, 20, 30 years to do that.
And you know, one thing I really appreciate, like I know Kansas State University, I reference that because that's where I worked, but their business school there, they've done a really good job of pulling in lecturers and instructors that are actually successful business owners and that are teaching on the practical implication of, you know, running a business versus textbook, because those are two very different concepts. They're both valuable, but I feel like, you know, hearing it from someone who's actually done it and been successful in it, that's where you're really going to learn all of the things, you know, to save you a lot of time on things you would be doing wrong.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And get some new insights and new perspectives, right? Yeah. I'm curious about the idea of work-life integration. I stopped using the word balance because my perspective is when you're fully present in the moment, by definition, you're going to be out of balance, right? Mm-hmm. So from your work-life integration, what does that look like? How have you figured out how to do life well as you're building businesses?
Well, I definitely figured it out this go around because the last 12 years, I did not have a work-life balance. All I did was work and it was unhealthy. And it really caused me to burn out and really not enjoy what I was doing. And then I wasn't doing a good job for anyone. So I think after I sold that company, it was very important for me to find a place where it brought me happiness. And I wanted to come to work and do something that I loved again. And, you know, I used to love the rentals, but by the end of it, I did not love it. But now here I am back, you know, 13 years later, doing a little bit of rentals again. So, I still have days where I wake up and, you know, there's a staffing issue or there's something that's happened that is, you know, frustrating. But I think you're going to face that as a small business owner or working for somebody else. It's just part of life. And I have to just shut it off. You know, I'm luckily, you know, I don't have someone's wedding on the line right now. You know, the most important thing we do is getting people's pottery back to them on time. And I hate to say it, but if something doesn't go perfect, you know, learn from it, fix it the next day. But luckily, no one's going to die. And so it's just, you got to put it down. I mean, you have to, because you're not doing anyone else any good whenever you're stressed out and, you know, just not loving what you're doing. So I had to put timers on my phone so that I know when I'm sitting with my family at dinner, I'm not answering text messages and emails. And my staff, I think, have been really respectful of that. We kind of have a rule, you know, Delanne's like personal time is from here. So, but I put those things in place pretty early.
Good. Beautiful. It's a good discipline, a good practice. Mm-hmm. And I do believe our children and our families keep us grounded. Mm-hmm. When we really think about what is important. And sometimes, unfortunately, it takes a life event to get our attention, and it doesn't have to. It's too bad that sometimes that's what it takes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, you know, that's probably why small business owners burn out so quickly, is because they're the very last, I say, on the totem pole. You know, they're getting it all, good, bad, ugly, whatever it is. And whenever it's just nonstop and you don't find a way to shut it off, you just burn out.
Well, and you touched on it a bit when you said we put in good systems. And I think that's so much what we bump into as well, is, you know, we have this goal in life to be to own our own companies. And then the answer seems to work longer hours, but that is so finite that, you know, time is not renewable like energy is. So how do I put systems in place so that I can get re-energized to do the things that are important?
And, you know, I think one of the biggest struggles for me as an owner down, you know, to this like staff level, is staff kind of don't understand, why isn't the owner in here all the time? And why isn't she, you know, in here doing all of those things? But it's like, hey, if I'm the one in there working all the time, like, I don't need staff. You know what I mean? I'm doing the job. And then second of all, like, I want to give them the freedom to be able to take ownership in the business and treat it kind of as their own, and like let some of their vision and creativity come out. Because if I'm in the one in there all day, every day, making all the decisions, then, you know, it takes out that freedom for them to kind of grow and learn and have an opportunity to learn how to run a small business.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. What's your growth strategy? Where do you see yourselves in the next 5 years?
I swore to my partner that I would not open another one for a while. I think that we've kind of reached our threshold for a little bit. There's a lot of pressure on me to open in Oklahoma City. There's a developer in that area that is doing a lot of commercial development and really wanting us to come in there. But I just don't know that I have the energy for it right now. I've opened the rental company kind of as a different creative outlet for me. And I think I'm just going to kind of focus on what I have and build it up and do a really exceptional job in the communities that we're in. And then in a couple of years, if I feel the need to grow it a little bit more, we always can. We have groups, you know, wanting to do franchises and, you know, different things like that. But that's just not my vision for this company. This is my baby, and I want to keep it small. I think, you know, a lot of people that's the dream, is to grow it into something huge and big. And for me, that's just not what my goal is with this.
Well, and you have a niche market, right? You have a niche specialty there that sometimes needs a different kind of attention and nurturing, no doubt.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, this Omaha market has definitely been a challenge in learning how to, you know, market and get people in the door. It's been very different at our other stores since from opening day. You know, it was like wait list, and it's definitely been a lot slower here getting started. So that anxiety starts to kick in, like, hey, we've got to get creative here. This is a different market.
Well, we'll get you connected. That's part of it, right? That's our passion as well. Because I truly believe as humans, we are connected to be together. We are created that way. We're at our best when we're that way. And when we do things like you have to offer in your shop, you know, we're a better version of ourselves, no doubt. Sure. How do we find you?
Yeah, so we're very active on social media. We have Facebook and Instagram, as well as TikTok. The handle for both of those is Creative Culture DIY. Our website is creativeculturediy.com. And then in Omaha, we're located at 1410 Howard. So we're here in a pretty busy, popular area, and hope everyone will stop by and see us.
Love that. Well, I definitely will be doing that for sure. So it's been just a delight getting to know a bit about you, Del-Ann, and your interest and your creativity and your daughter. That's just fascinating to me. So I thank you for that. And I'm sure that folks that watch this are going to be interested in learning more as well.
Okay, thank you.